Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. And I want to say welcome to this Sunday's readings, which is the Feast of the Transfiguration. And the Feast of the Transfiguration is one of my favorite of all, not just the feast, but the reality of what God did for us, what God revealed to us. So let's look at these readings together. Magnificat magazine gives us a wonderful introduction to this feast. It says, Christ's Tabor radiance is a kind of mirror in which we glimpse the glory that God wills to give his friends. Hopefully you and I are friends. The resplendence of the Transfiguration reveals the fullness of life destined to be ours. The Transfiguration invites us to configuration, in other words, to become like Christ. As we peer into the glory that pours from every pore of the transfigured Christ, we cast off everything unworthy of our personal relationship with the infinite, and we take on the luster of the Son of God. The more we conform ourselves to Christ, the more we follow him, the more obedient we are to him, the more we do what he asks, the more do our own human lives begin to reflect his presence. Let's go on here. Jesus gazes back at us with a luminous look of love that makes us desire to live his transparent beauty. You can't live transparent beauty if you're filled with sin and darkness. We want to cast off the works of evil. We want to cast off sin, that Christ might shine through us. Silently from Tabor's splendor, the Savior begs us, become what you behold. Christ manifested himself, and we'll read that in this Sunday's Gospel. But I want to say to you even now, because you're listening to this on Friday, take a look at your life before Sunday. Open your heart. Can Christ be seen through you? By your manner? By your conversation? By your thoughts? By your generosity? By your love? Are you known as a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, one who becomes like him? Let's take a look at the first reading then from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, and then 13 and 14. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw. This is Daniel. This is Old Testament. But he received a vision. One like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. That's Old Testament. Prophetic vision of the coming of the Christ. Psalm 97, the Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth. He really is. Does your life reflect that you believe that? That he is King of my life? That I follow him as closely as I can? I obey him. Well, we don't like to hear that word as adults, do we? This world certainly doesn't believe it. But if we obey him, we're drawn into that kingdom of light. We become more like him. And it's true. It's not just a nice, pious image. It's true. Second reading is taken from the second letter of St. Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. Beloved, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. By baptism, brothers and sisters, Christ lives within you. Is the morning star, the Son of God, rising in your heart? Is he becoming more and more evident? And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Look at Peter's generosity. He doesn't see the whole picture yet, but he's ready to serve. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The transfiguration was not just for Peter, James, and John. It was for all of us. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Do we? Day in and day out, do we listen in the Gospels for the words of Jesus? Do we seek to conform our lives to them? If we do, then his light shines through us. I often say this, but I mean it with all my heart. You can't see it, but others are drawn by goodness. Others are drawn by holiness. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Take those words to yourself personally from God the Father. He's pointing to Jesus and he's saying, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Don't speak about this. But it was the Father revealing his Son to Peter and James and John. Why? Why those three? Why then? Because, brothers and sisters, God knew what horror those disciples were going to go through. He knew their weaknesses. He knew their fear. And that's why he was giving them a revelation of the glory of the Son of God, because the Father willed it. They were given that revelation in order to sustain them through the horrible trial and beatings and persecution and crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. He gave them that revelation to sustain them. Brothers and sisters, there are often difficult moments in our lives. It behooves us to go back to the story of the Transfiguration. It's not a story, it's really an account. And to ponder the Transfiguration, to ponder the glory of God, that God in Christ was going to rise from the dead after this horrible time, but the disciples didn't know any of that yet. And so the Father in his goodness gives them a glimpse of the glory of the Son of God so they can put their hope in him and their trust in him. And that's what sustained them, even though they believed that Jesus was dead. They all didn't run away. They gathered in the upper room and waited until Jesus came. They were given a boost, shall we say, though it's an infinite boost, to believe. And I think that the Lord would say to all of us, to each of us listening to this program, I think he wants to say to us, do you believe me? Do you believe who I am? Do you know that the Father and I are one? Do you know that whatever circumstances you face in your life, I will be with you? I am not distant. I am right here. I am with you. Keep your eyes fixed on me, not on the circumstances, but keep your eyes fixed on me. I will deliver you. That's what God promised. And that's why the Feast of the Transfiguration means so much to me, because it is the light of the glory of God shining on the face of Christ. That's what the Transfiguration reveals. Jesus is the Son of God. He is my Savior. He will save me in the midst of the difficult circumstances in which I find myself. Brothers and sisters, put all your trust in him. Put all your hope in him. Because he will not fail you. That light shining on the face of Christ is greater than we can handle with our human eyes. Those disciples were given a special grace at that moment. Brothers and sisters, the glory of God is the very life of God. The glory of God is the life that desires to draw us in to union with him, that we too in him might manifest his glory to a darkened world. May God give you particular grace today. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.